This is the Riot Act Super 14 Rugby Review.
Hello and welcome to the Riot Act Rugby Review, Season 2, Week 12. Tonight we have myself, Rob, John.
Hello.
Tim.
Hello.
And the running sheets. Well, John did very well again and has maintained his lead with 5 tips from the week and is out in front on 42 points. The rest of us got 4 points each, except for Katina, who only pulled in the 3. So, scores at the moment.
Katina's in my sights, mate.
Katina and Tim languishing on 38 points, Nick and myself on 39, and John in the lead on 42, 3 points clear of everybody else.
Almost afford to drop a final on that kind
of... You could, actually. I'm still feeling pretty good, though, considering you normally tip Monday, Tuesday night, and that's still ahead of... number of celebrity tipsters on Rugby Heaven.
And Gordon got 4 for our
celebrity guest.
Yes. Celebrity guest from last week.
Fourth tip.
Yes, that was funny. I'm sure he'll be crying into his beers again.
Well,
the week that was, gents.
Hurricanes 37, Cheetahs 15.
Yep.
Wellington.
I actually saw some of this one. Hurricanes far, far, far too good, Cheetahs.
Yeah, they were pretty...
And the experiment with Perry Weeper is finally starting to pay off.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had an article during the week that...
He's been playing there a couple of weeks.
Yeah, interesting note that Graham Henry's actually seriously thinking about Weeper again because he can cover both half and 5/8 positions. Pretty good for them. And yeah, you're right, they looked very strong. Shame it's just not coming right for them at the wrong end of the season. They've dropped too many games at this point.
Well, they'd still have to be in some sort of contention for that.
They are.
Place.
We'll get on to that. We'll get on to that.
Nothing from the Cheetahs.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's really easy to show nothing on a New Zealand tour, even for a really good team.
Yeah. Except the Crusaders.
Well, luckily they...
Always tour well in New Zealand.
Well, how's this for another game? Chiefs 64, Western Force 36, and Hamilton. 100 points scored in the game. It's... The Force have let through over
117 points in 2 games.
In 2 games.
And the Chiefs have almost scored 100 points in 2 games.
Yeah, things are really coming together for the Chiefs in the end of the season.
And that's really blown out the Force's for and against, I've got to say.
It has.
They're in some trouble now.
It still comes down to if you win more games, you'd be fine. But
well, the Chiefs, as the Chiefs have lost 2 games more than... Well, sorry, haven't won as 2 games more than... Won 2 games less than all the other contenders.
Yeah, we did. We made note of this last week. Where bonus points is just amazing. They won
they
a bonus
up
point
through the season. You pick up one every game.
They got bonus points in every game. They got 9 bonus points.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is just 2 games.
And 2 wins
and shows over. Yeah.
But the Force, they were never really out of the game. It was always. They're always
in
there.
Points going.
Yeah, there's a lot of people running the ball. Matt Gidhoe had a blinder. He was just running the ball.
Yeah,
and passing the ball.
He was the only one. You can't, one man a team.
Exactly. No.
Speaking of Matt Gidhoe, we've got a picture here, which I guess we can't show, but it's of Matt Gidhoe's ex-girlfriend who he broke up with at the end of the year. Matt Henjak. Yes,
who wasn't playing.
He wasn't playing. Damn.
No.
We'll mention it, though, because his girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, we can see her bottom. And she's in a toilet in the Sydney nightclub with Sonny Bill Williams, a rugby league player. So
that's probably why his mate. Probably why she's his ex.
His ex-girlfriend, yes. So that's bad news for Matt Henjak anyway, that everyone's seen his girlfriend's bottom. No one likes that sort of thing.
Ex.
Ex. He probably doesn't care anymore.
No,
probably a reason why this is his ex.
Yes.
But I think this was interesting. The Force actually were well in on top of the Chiefs for the first 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And showing a lot of good movement, busting through the middle of around the rucks, which was interesting that the Chiefs' defence wasn't very strong there. Marty Holler didn't even make that 22 this week for the Chiefs.
Mm.
And then just pushed it wide and overlap to be found.
Mm.
The Chiefs were really only in it from an intercept try by Roy Kinnikinnilau in about the 15th minute, I think it was. Otherwise, the Force would have been up another 7 points.
And then the
The wheel fell off.
Yeah.
Unfortunate injury to Chris O'Young, going off at about the 20-minute mark, and I think that probably changed the service from the base of the ruck.
Nathan Sharp hanging around at first receiver for quite a few times. I'm thinking, what the hell is
possibly,
he doing there?
Possibly weren't getting the recycle ball that they were looking for.
Yeah, but you see, that's the trouble with overplaying your captaincy hand. When you're a big looking forward like Nathan Sharp, you want to try and be responsible for everything, but going back and trying to play halfback is just not going to help matters.
No. Whereas he was passing the ball out, whereas all he should have been doing is taking the ball for first receiver and running forwards.
Yeah, because what I saw was looking forward isn't there to smash the ball up if he's down at the front.
That's right.
Anyway, I don't think there's too much.
I think Gordon will probably be very disappointed.
Yeah, I think all the Force fans will be very disappointed. They'll be glad to get home again.
On their way home.
It remains to be seen where they're going to do over the Brumbies this week. But
yeah, well, it's going to be an interesting game. I don't think it's going to be too interesting, though. But we'll see.
Well, I hope it's not. I hope it's going to be another 100-point victory to the Brumbies.
It'd be nice for the Brumbies to get another bonus point with things getting very, very tight for fourth place.
It is getting very tight.
Okay, moving on. Highlanders 3, Crusaders 38. I don't think anyone was expecting... Most people were expecting Crusaders to win this, but 38-3, I don't think even the Crusaders were expecting that.
But watching the match... Mm-hmm. The Highlanders scrum absolutely smashed the Crusaders. Every time the ball was put into the scrum, the Highlanders just went straight through the middle of it and took the ball away, screwed it, whatever. They always got the ball from the scrum.
Even the Highlanders set piece play on line-outs was much stronger than the Crusaders.
Yeah. It's the Highlanders couldn't hold the ball for more than three phases, which was a big problem. They either turned it over or threw it away or just knocked it or just couldn't catch it. But it, I think it shows a very weak spot in the Crusaders' pack is that, yes, they do have an all-black forward pack. Sorry, front row. But it still says a lot that they were getting so consistently smashed.
I think what it does say about the Crusaders is that rather than going for a pack that's going to assure them field position through the ruck and ball, what they've got, they've sacrificed that to get a very fast mobile pack that allows them to get great support play and put real pressure on a, not only on opposition's ball.
It's a logistics question that it's generally better to have more units in theatre than to have lots of units that can't get there.
That's right.
And when applied to the rugby field, the other team might have a bigger forward, but if the Crusaders have got two of their guys there,
that's shown pretty much all season. I think
last week's couple of weeks they've done it.
The forwards have scored the first three tries, and it wasn't the big beefy guys; it was the ones that were really mobile, really getting to the ball.
But I think the big thing for the Crusaders is that their game plan is they keep the offense moving forward, which means the defense is always on the back foot, which means they can't get smashed backwards. Now, if they come up against a team that's going to start hitting them backwards and stop their forward momentum.
But the South African teams haven't done that well against them this season.
No.
Well, we did see it last season when the Sharks played the Crusaders that they really got up in their face and stopped that forward momentum from the more mobile, but not as big Crusaders pack. It's probably something that other teams should be paying more attention to.
Yep, I think the other...
Nine-fingered Johnny, when he comes up against them, starts lining them up from 10 metres back and smashing them backwards.
I think the other big point is that it's very hard to score tries when the opposition's running towards your own try line and putting the ball down. Mm-hmm. And the Crusaders' defence might be considered suspect by some, but...
Highlanders
weren't able to cross the line while the Crusaders were so busy putting the ball down.
Yeah, I liked how I liked one stat in the game. It was 7-3 for the Crusaders, and the stat was time spent in the opposition 22, 0 minutes for the Crusaders. They didn't even bother, they just went straight through and scored.
Yep.
No time at all left spent there.
Yeah, it's like that classic when the All Blacks are on top, their possession stats can be quite low for a game. They might only get 30% of the possession. Because every time they get the ball, they're scoring a bloody try.
Getting the ball back,
Let's move on. One last game before we take a break. Blues 25, Sharks 32 in Auckland.
Wow.
This was one of the upsets of the round.
Tim did pick it.
I did pick it. I did say that this would be one of the closer games of the week. It
actually wasn't that close a game.
But
surprisingly, right? But yeah, it was a big turnaround.
I think they even did that just to make sure that the Blues picked up the bonus points to keep everyone else locked out of the competition.
I don't think they were thinking that far into it.
It certainly pretty much stratifies the top three is now pretty much locked in for the season.
Oh, you would think so. Yeah.
The Sharks have got a very easy run home.
Well, the Sharks will be now hoping and praying they can maybe sneak into one or two.
Yeah, well, as I said, they've got a very easy run home. The Crusaders could do it.
The Crusaders, you think, will pick up at least two games for the remaining three. The Blues probably have the hardest position, you know, because they're about to tour South Africa. And I know they've got some, you know, you would think they would knock over the Stormers.
All the other South African teams will be looking at what the Sharks did to them, and they'll be rubbing
right.
their little
that's
hands
right. together. That's right. You know, they've got to travel a long way. They're coming off a loss. Travelling to Cape Town is always difficult for any team, and, you know, the Stormers are a difficult prospect. But you've got to wonder whether the Blues are going to maintain it. Even a top three position.
I can't see them dropping out of the top four.
No.
Probably not the top four. At best,
15 points on offer to the end of the season. Yes, teams could get in there, but the Blues are on 37 and they're a good 10 points in front of the fourth place, which is where everybody's banked up on. So it'd be pretty difficult.
Yeah. All right, then. Let's go to a song. What do we got up next? This is by Gilf from the Insatiable Banalities podcast. Stop a while.
Can you see the blood on the road as you're passing by? Can you see it stained across the sky? Is that your hand on the trigger? Is that your hand on the gun? Is that your wife beside you? Is that your lonely son? Hey, stop. You are the shine poverty from your shining car. Is that your idea of the trigger? Is that your idea of mine? Cause I can tell you, I can tell that it's sure not mine. And I am prepared to fight. Yes, we are prepared to fight. Well, I'm swimming out into the southern ocean. Limestone cliffs are crowding over, and I can't see those veins end. Lucid and wide above, and I can't feel those ochre hands reaching down, reaching down. Is that your hand on the trigger? Is that your hand on the gun? Why don't you stand up like a man? And look at what you've done. Hey, stop a while. Hey, stop a while. Hey, stop a while.
So that was Gilf with Stop a While from the Insatiable Banalities podcast.
And what does Gilf mean?
Girl, I'd like to, and then beginning with F.
Yes.
Yeah. They're not actually an all-lesbian band. There are one of them's just a friend of lesbians, but they're an all-girl band.
There you go.
Yes. Well worth checking out if you're just a lover of music, though. Lovely girls.
Waratahs, 26. The round. Reds 13. What a disappointing match for Australian rugby this was.
It was the most dismal game of rugby I've seen. It was even more dismal in its way than like the Brumbies.
Phil Kearns' comment at the end of 2 minutes of the match said, "I've never seen more handling errors in 1 minute of rugby. in all my playing years. And I think that pretty much sums it up, because the ball was dropped left, right and centre. There was no outstanding moments for the match.
Now, what I'm intrigued by is both squads now are yanking juniors into their ranks with no club experience, and then wondering why they're fumbling around the park and not showing great skills. Why aren't they bringing in the seasoned journeymen of the club competition?
The magic bullet. We've got to find the next star, player, and let's get them from anywhere we can.
Let's find the next Matt Gitto and get him out on the pitch.
Why don't we get some good players and then build around what we've already got?
They want to find the next Matt Gitto or next whoever.
This was nothing.
Gitto, when he was thrown in for the Wallabies, had one of the most shocking games of rugby anyone's ever played. You throw the youngsters in too early and they're going to play badly.
Yeah. We're going to talk about prediction for Wallabies at this stage, and from this game, I don't know you'd pick any, would you?
Well, Lottie's locked in.
Lottie and Rocky Olsen.
Rocky
Olsen was all over the park, and even Wycliffe Barlow, had a great game.
I think David Croft has been overlooked for too long.
With Phil Warren's in, Croft will get looking.
That's a very good point.
Always
like his bit of niggle in there.
I think for the Reds, John Rowe and David Croft.
John Rowe has always been a magnificent rugby player.
For the Waratahs, the guys that stood out from my mind were Palu, Rocky Olsen. Again, played a really captain's knock.
He's a good one,
I guess, but even though he's not the captain.
No.
But everybody else.
I'd just like to say one try really. The Reds did score was Shevkovsky running past the short arms of Adam Fryer again, so I think that guy's got to get some arm extensions because he just can't tackle properly.
They might upset his scrum balance, mate.
I think
engaging too early.
And I've got to say, Hewitt's ability at fullback, atrocious. The number of times he let the ball bounce, didn't attack the ball or the player with the ball.
And his kicking was wayward as well.
Yeah, it was hopeless, and that was why the Reds did score, because he wasn't attacking with the ball.
Shevkovsky did a bit, scored a try.
Yep.
Ex-Camberator.
A good performance, but certainly not, from my mind, a standout. It's one of those guys that...
Andrew Walker had just as good a game, except for one.
Happy to have him in your team, but you think, great.
Championships are built on getting 15 of those guys in your side, though.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not built on getting one Matt Gitto.
Look at the Crusaders, they do it every year. They've got Mossy Tuili and all these guys that, by themselves, aren't... standout guys.
But you get them all together.
Get them all together and working together as a unit. Wow, they're all over the place.
The old champion team versus a team of champions.
Yeah. That's right. You should be able to look at a team and go, everybody had a good game. Nobody, you couldn't pick anybody to say, I would have him in my team, my world 15.
But it's only once you're
saying, I'm having them all.
Yeah, but it's only once you're surrounded by lots of other good players that you really get a chance to express yourself as well. So, like I said, I think if the Reds and the Waratahs had been serious about competing this season, they wouldn't have been blooding so many youngsters. They would have been going to the guys
for a home derby. Only 21,000 people turned up to a Sydney game.
Pretty disappointing. Fans,
that's pretty abysmal. And
they were booing their own team.
That's abysmal. That really is.
Now, I'd just like to contrast that with the next game. Stormers 12 went down to the Bulls 49 in Pretoria.
Yes, what was the crowd there?
50,000. 50,000 in Pretoria. So.
Okay, Bulls home ground. There was a lot of people.
I know, but still, it's a big
Stormers
difference.
It's the big grudge match.
Yeah.
It's one of those big grudge match local derbies, and you got to think, 21,000 at Sydney, 50,000 in Pretoria.
Look, I was in the Shell
local
Harbour
population,
Leagues Club.
It's not different.
I was in the Shell Harbour Leagues Club trying to watch this game. Not Shell Harbour Leagues Club, that would have been stupid. The Shell Harbour Workers Club, so not a,
not affiliated,
not affiliated
with any particular
with the
code.
There was 20,000 plasma screens in that place, I swear. Not one of them was on the game. I managed to convince in a darkened corner at the back of this bloody casino they built there to put a screen on with no volume so we could sit and watch the game. And they were quite friendly. They said, and they checked no one else would mind. If
freaks. What are you watching this game for? What do you want to watch the Waratahs for, mate?
I tried to explain I like watching the Waratahs lose. That didn't go down so well.
I think it's a pretty firm rugby league territory you're
it's
in there.
It's not actually. That's the thing. They play rugby in terms of number of players playing in their club competitions. Their local football, they're just as much a union area as a league area. It was just that they have no interest whatsoever.
I seriously think, okay, both teams need to take a good hard look at their coaching structures and what sort of game they want to play. You know, the Force and the Brumbies are both, I mean, the Force in a very short space of time has said, this is the type of game we want to play, and it'll win us some games, it'll lose us some games, and so be it, but this is the kind of structure we're trying to set up and the culture we're trying to create. Brumbies the same, you know, this is the type of game we want to play. And
although early in the season the Brumbies were trying to play grinding rugby, and I heard Laurie Fisher in his podcast this week
saying
he was saying, we didn't really have enough time to bond as a team after the Wallabies tour, so we were playing conservative and now we've got it all clicking. And I wasn't entirely convinced by that explanation.
I personally see the difference is that they've stopped Huxley from kicking the ball away.
Huxley, the fullback.
Stop him can't get in the line.
So he stops him kicking the ball away.
Look at, say, the Reds. I think the Reds have been reasonably consistent in the type of game they've been trying to play all season. You know, and really going back to traditional Queensland rugby where we grind it up through the centre and occasionally these guys standing out the wing to see the ball. Alright, they probably don't have the cattle for it in their stable. And the Waratahs, well, who knows what the hell they're trying to do, but they keep trying to reinvent themselves
throwing
and do
money
all sorts of things.
Throwing money at whoever will take it,
to, you know, for a quick fix. Rather than saying, look, this is the game we want to play, this is how we're going to play it, and let's play it regardless of the outcome, and let's just get better at it and better at it each week.
The amazing thing is with the Waratahs, having identified that they wanted to spend $1.2 million a year on a winger, no one then sat down and said, how are we going to play a game plan which is going to bring
winners?
Which
is going to use that player. It's stupid. Well, I mean, they can't blame Tecu for it, okay?
Tecu managed
to
get
fine. Take the ball.
Yeah.
Take the money if the people are going to pay
I think I saw him get the ball twice, and he ran it up 20 metres with no opposition each time, and so adding to his yardage.
I hate using stats on any particular player, but, you know, more line busts, more metres gained.
I think more metres gained has to do with the fact that he's getting the ball deep and running it up, because he doesn't actually have a kicking game.
You're fine.
I think they're skewing it now that I think about it.
If you're going to use that, get the bloody ball to him all the time and set your game plan to use those guys.
But not just give it to him. They're saying, we're going to spend this money on a winger. We need a game plan that brings wingers into the game.
I think we've done this one to death. Now, Bulls Stormers. Anything to say about it? Except the Bulls had a very
good game. Good game for the Bulls.
Good game for the Bulls. Lots of points scored, which is unusual for the Bullies.
I think if they're all over them, then
they're
just going to keep on running through.
To Brian Habana for a change.
Brian Habana got the ball.
He stole two of them, I think.
Yeah.
That's the game plan he's going to play.
Yeah, look, disappointing game for the Stormers in what's one of their big games of the season.
Yeah, I would have thought this would be a bit closer, frankly. Yeah. But the Stormers have run hot and cold all season. The Bulls have always been fairly consistent performers.
Yeah, Bulls are looking like a
and good performance from them. You know, they've come into equal fifth on the with the Brumbies.
Equal fifth. Equal fourth.
Well, you give that to the Chiefs on the better four, 2 points.
I'm but very glad we don't have to tour South Africa now.
Yeah, and the thing is, the Bulls have a very good run home.
Yeah.
They've got the potential to get good 12 points here. That's going to be it's going to put them right in contention for that fourth spot.
What's going to be interesting is seeing the Bulls playing with some pressure on to score four tries is going to be a very different Bulls outfit to.
I don't think they need to, because I think they've got the easiest run of the four teams that are possibly getting in there.
They could do. You know, it's by no stretch of the imagination could you see the Chiefs or the Brumbies take 3 from 3. Mm-hmm. Brumbies probably, you know, over the Crusaders, but you know, Crusaders as well. So
if the Brumbies can't beat the Crusaders at home, we don't belong in the competition, because
you've always got to win your tight home games. If you can't beat them, well, you know, go home.
Alright, let's go to a song and come back with a beer review.
What's the song?
Gilf, Paper Boats,
from the Social Banalities podcast.
Indeed.
Feeling of getting dragged out deep losing her feet. That little pair of bamboos carried her far. That little paper bowl she sailed by the stars, but still she died for it.
That was Paper Boats by Gilf from the Insatiable Manalities podcast. Let's get on to what do we think? Wallabies predictions.
Wallaby thoughts.
Wallaby thoughts and final four. We'll start with the final four.
Okay, we'll start with final four.
With the Sharks beating the Blues, I think it's pretty much cemented their place in 1-2-3 between the Blues, Crusaders and Sharks.
Yep, there's still some interest in who gets the home finals, but other than that, that one is pretty much locked up.
The Sharks did us all a disservice by winning that game, but whereas we had a chance of knocking them down to third.
Sharks have a good chance of taking the home final.
Yeah, they do.
Which would be great for the Republic.
Mm. Yeah, Sharks have a very easy run home. Mm. So, and they're only 3 points behind. So they've got
it was a real must-win for their season, and they delivered the goods. And interestingly, Bob Skinstadt on the comeback trail is starting to really look the business.
I think the makeup of South Africa team will be interesting, as much as the makeup of any of.
I think the South Africans are feeling better about their rugby than they have in a while, though.
They've got two teams that are performing really well, rather than just one and everyone else is languishing.
Yeah.
No, two teams doing really well and everyone else is doing much better.
I was about to say, the Cheetahs and the Lions are still able to be take down a top
Cheetahs
spot.
Cheetahs and Lions are competitive. The Stormers are really their only no-hoper team in the competition.
Oh, they're even doing better Australia. They're not cellar dwellers. We got both cellar dweller teams, thank you very much.
Yeah. But for the top four, the Hurricanes are possible, but they're unlikely. They've got a pretty hard run and...
too erratic.
And they're some points clear of the
again,
four at the
I
moment.
Again, I think the key impact that the Hurricanes have are their back three. And, you know, missing them for 7 games of the season has really upset them.
Yep. Now, Ma Nonu got described by Keo this week as the most overrated centre in the world.
Yeah.
I disagree. I think Ma Nonu on Fulsong is...
He's pretty good. But I have to say, you know, in terms of New Zealand centres at the moment,
there's an awful lot of really good centres.
And I think I really think that's probably been the in combinations that have been telling which teams that are going forward.
Centre combinations.
Brumbies haven't had a set centre pairing all season. No,
I think it's based on the performance of the others, but not as good as we could have been.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is that it's not definitive, although.
Well, let's get on the teams that we think we're going to make the fourth spot.
Okay,
Hurricanes, a chance. Probably not.
Unlikely,
the Bulls,
but they are possible.
Good run home.
They've got a good run home, and they're in there on 27 points with three other teams. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep.
They're coming good, too. Mm. I think they've been playing reasonably good football.
Yeah, smashing the Stormers will never hurt the team's confidence.
Strangely enough, Victor Matfield is not the number one jumper in the line-out this season. That only goes to Nathan Sharp. Wow. Surprisingly.
I would still have Victor Matfield over two Nathan Sharps.
Mm. Yeah, I probably would too.
Force is still possible, but I've taken a big hit on their for and against, and don't have that easy a run home with the Brumbies, Chiefs, and
Look, it's only the
Blues,
second season. I think the Force the Force have won at home, which and they started winning games. So that's a big step up for Force in terms of team development.
But they're on the way home as well, so they have.
Yeah, I think this has been a good season for Force. Like last season, they were very much a developing team. This season, they've started to get patterns down and looking much better. I wouldn't be surprised to not see them in the final. I don't think anyone in Force management or even the fans would be particularly disappointed if they missed out. But, you know, showing a lot more promise.
Yeah, it's a better season than last year. It lays the platform going forward. I think the Force will be pretty happy with the season if they're just out of the finals.
Yep. I think so too.
Okay, the Chiefs have a pretty difficult run home with the Crusaders and the Sharks to be played.
Yeah, I don't think the Chiefs are realistic contenders.
No, I think they've gotten where they are on their bonus points. I don't think that's going to carry them through.
The bonus points are the result of some good rugby, and they brought it all together for that enormous scoreline they put over the Force on the weekend. But I just don't see the consistency there. The Chiefs are what the Chiefs are always, which is a team that can beat any other team on their day, but probably won't.
Mm. Yeah, and it shows by all the less than seven losses.
Yeah.
Once again for the Brumbies, the chance of fourth spot will really rely on bonus points, and we haven't scored many this season.
But the trend is looking good.
The trend is looking good. The team is coming together well. However, it's going to really depend on how we do on bonus points. If we don't get them, then I don't think we're going to lose fourth spot. Even if we win the next three games,
we could lose fourth spot.
Yep.
Yeah. I think for the Brumbies, there's two games in particular were very telling. The one at home against the Blues,
and the Hurricanes,
losing after the siren, and just perhaps a lack of focus after the siren and tiredness. And against the Hurricanes, losing by 1 point again after the buzzer, or I think it was in the last 30 seconds or something.
Yeah,
and those are two telling games.
That came down to Coach Fisher's decision to play conservative rugby, which gave them no opportunity to extend the scoreline.
Yeah.
Which is, and then, you lose the
last as much as I'd like to see the Brumbies make it through to the finals, I wouldn't be surprised to see them sort of just get pipped out on for and against
a game
they don't have control over.
I think
that's fine. If you lose your fourth spot because some other team has played great against you, the third team, fine, that's okay.
As long as how disappointed you can be having already got the earlier losses over out of your system.
I've only got some self to blame by losing those close games.
Yeah, but I think if the Brumbies can beat the Crusaders at Canberra Stadium, they will have been playing the sort of rugby that will see them get the bonus points they need.
That's right.
I mean, assuming they get over the Force this weekend, that's what it's all boiling down to. Who else? Anyone else in contention?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay, potential Wallabies.
I'd like to pick a whole bunch of guys who haven't played a game this season because they're injured.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that smacks of incompetence because, do you really want to pick a bunch of guys going into World Cup that
haven't done anything?
Aren't match fit.
Yeah, aren't match fit, haven't done anything.
Haven't done anything. Okay, yeah, they're great players, but I'm sure you want someone who's match fit over someone who hasn't played a game.
There's a pretty full international season coming up, and there is also the Australian Rugby Championship, which should be giving some reasonably...
That's being played at the same time as the...
It is, because the starting rounds of the ARC will be starting off all the World Cup.
Question whether you'll see any of the guys eligible for World Cup selection playing those ARC games.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't think anyway, it is a full international schedule. Even if Wales is only sending out a development side, and given the thrashings we've been handing out Wales over the last 15 years, them sending a second string side out is really asking for trouble.
They fought us to a tie in the last one. In fact, I think we were lucky to get a tie in the last one.
Let's quickly run through the positions and see where we're going to go.
Okay, number 15.
Props, are you going to start with the backs?
Start the back. I think it's a bit easier.
15, any standouts?
No.
Cameron Shepherd? Drew Mitchell?
I
can't forget him.
I think they'd be silly not to put Huxley in there. I can't see anyone else.
A bit of Mark Gerrard at fullback?
No, I wouldn't play him at fullback.
Latho, if he's comes good?
Latho won't be good. I think, realistically...
You're not going to pick Hewitt?
No.
Or Walker, or I don't know who else playing.
Walker Shikoski will never play for the Wallabies again. I think Hewitt has done himself an immense disservice this season, because otherwise he probably would have been a Shepherd. there's going to be political pressure. They need at least four Waratahs.
Oh, God. There's not that many?
In the 22.
Well, Lottie's one.
Yeah. Lottie definitely picked. Fullback's tough, shows the lack of general talent out there.
We have a lot of utility backs, but we don't have dedicated fullbacks.
Yeah, if Scruffy's fit again, he'll walk straight onto the side. But,
yeah, I think so as well.
Other than that, I reckon Huxley there for his kicking game.
Frankly, I reckon Shepherd's got a good look in at fullback.
Yeah, I'll go with Shepherd.
And he can be the token force player. Yeah.
Wing, Lotto.
Lotto has to be there.
He has to be on one. Unfortunately, it's going to be the wing I'd rather give to
Gerrard. I hate
Gerrard.
To disappoint all the force players, the Waratahs. Lachlan Turner's not going to be in the Wallabies squad. Not the saviour you were after. He had one good try and that was it.
Yeah.
That was more a you know, position of opportunity and good play from his inside backs.
Shepherd at 13 or and oh, with, no, after Mortlach?
Depends out there. Wing. Who else on the wing?
Wing? Rathbone, if he's fit, and Gerrard
I think he's going to get dropped from the Wallabies because he hasn't been performing this season. And when Gerrard was put back on his proper wing, because Boner can only play one side, he played so much better. It was
a weakness.
Yeah.
Need to fix that.
Yeah, and he's got such a much better boot, so I'll be picking Gerrard. But unfortunately, Lottie's going to be playing on the same wing, so Gerrard will have to go into
his other wing. I'll find the back three. Lotto, Gerrard, probably at fullback, and Cameron Shepherd on the other wing. Digby getting no service.
Gerrard doesn't have the catching game though.
No, he does.
Yeah, I reckon he does.
He does.
I think he'll play
better on the wing. He's actually a good wing player.
Only for lack of other options.
Right.
Digby did himself no favours on the weekend. So
yeah.
Won't.
Okay, outside centre.
Outside centre, you've got to go with Mortlach.
Yep. Understudies?
No.
Understudies.
We need understudies because Mortlach will not stay fit for a whole World Cup.
No. Yeah, what a shame. Let's make sure he's fit.
Adam Ashley Cooper, I wouldn't say. I won't say no to him because Adam Ashley Cooper, he's been doing very well, but I don't think he's been a standout.
Yeah,
but I think he'll make the training squad at any rate. And
Ryan Cross has actually been reasonably consistent for the Force.
Okay, so Mortlach there, but with Ryan Cross as
Ryan Cross and probably Ashley Cooper, I'd say. Ashley Cooper's got
versatility, which makes him a good squad player.
Not Morgan Tuanui.
Oh,
no.
I
thought we just needed a laugh. No. Number 12.
Unless
they perceive it as the madness of him at halfback.
Well, that's just stupid. Yeah. Okay, if you put him there, who do you put it? Number 12, you can't.
Yeah.
The Git, as great as Fairbanks has been playing, I probably don't see him playing.
If the Git goes to halfback, I'd play Fairbanks inside centre.
Two small guys. Bit of a risk.
Especially
had a reasonable game, good line busts on the weekend.
I
don't see anyone from the Waratahs making it.
Figured out, you run at Giddo all day long, he burns a lot of petrol tackling and
can't do
not so good on counter attack.
I still see Giddo 12.
Same. Yep, okay. Number 10.
Larkin, if he's fit.
If he's fit.
Understanding Derek Barnes.
He had some good games and had some shoulders, but for a guy who's only 20.
Got two seasons under his belt as opposed to the ultimate fly half.
He's one of the veterans. Hilgendorf, I've actually thought he's been playing really well. Not a flashy player, but certainly shows good field vision. Can move the ball around the park, marshal his outside backs.
You really want from a number 10 is someone who can 60% of the time figure out which side to go when he gets the ball from the halfback.
That's right.
And has the visibility to know what to do with it.
And the other 60% of it, the other 40% of the time, make the opposition figures going the other way.
Yeah. okay, halfback.
Greggs.
We all agree that Gregan is the form halfback in Australian rugby at the moment.
I'd say so, yeah. I'd more than anybody else.
Watching Barry for the Reds was just...
Barry was pain, but painful.
Yes.
Everybody else for the Waratahs has been shit.
Josh Holmes has shown a little bit of interest.
Yes, coming to Brumbies. Okay. Yeah, he's played one game.
Yeah.
He's made the squad once. That's got to say something about the faith his coaches have in him.
Yeah.
For the Force... Henjak. Yeah, Henjak played quite well for until he was injured, so I think he's probably going to get a look at.
Wallaby selectors will be nervous about letting Henjak on the plane again.
Yep.
Probably.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think. Unless it's political, I don't think he's going to get picked.
We've all seen what his girlfriend looks like in the toilet, so there's some good judgment there.
Alright, number 8.
Getting into the forwards.
Oh, this is going to be interesting. This is probably. This is the loose.
Where they're going to move around players from 6, 7 and 8 and muck around with it a bit?
I think they would like to, again, as they always do, play three number 7s.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Tuaki plays in the rest of the season the way he's played for the last two games,
he won't make number eight. Johnny's not going to make it.
Okay, look,
Scott Favor's probably going to get there just for political reasons.
No, I don't think so. No. I actually think Hoyles has been playing well. Better than, yep. than Favor, and after Hoyles, I'd pick Warwick McPartlett just for his impact a bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, that sounds good.
Alrighty. Favor had a reasonable game against the Chiefs, but you know Hoyles has been consistent all year.
Okay.
Partly for his impact ability, the big bloke has a lot of go forward ability. David Lyons, unfortunately, not going to make it.
No.
John Rowe, again, Mr. Consistency, but nothing flashy.
I'd pick him in the squad, though.
Yeah, they're probably going to pick him for political reasons.
Yeah,
not so much political reasons. You want him in the squad because he's a sensible guy, plays good hard rugby, trains well. He's a doctor, which doesn't hurt in a rugby team.
he can prescribe them drugs.
No, it brings up the sort of level of maturity one would hope. Number seven, can't go past George Smith while Phil Waugh's injured.
George Smith is
the only other look-ins.
Without the dreads, he hasn't been playing as well.
He's a shadow of his former self, but he is still the best number seven.
He's still the best number seven.
So I think when he's not playing as captain, I think he'll actually play better because he will stop him trying to do everything on a pitch.
I think he's grown into the captaincy. I think he's got better at it.
Yeah, he has, but I still don't want to see him running around as first receiver or trying to play fullback or something like that.
Yeah, no, but I still think he's still number 1-7 or the first choice number 7 in the country.
Okay.
David Croft, secondly. I like the look of David Pocock, actually, for the Force, but at 18, probably a bit before his time.
Not for World Cup, maybe the November.
Not for World Cup. Number 6.
Rocky.
Yeah.
Definitely Rocky. Over everybody else there.
Rocky's niggle.
Brown for the Force. Been playing quite well in concert with the other guys over there, but Rocky's been all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number
five, down in the second row.
Well, I think we can't get.
You'd love to pick Dan Bickerman and Alcanar.
I wouldn't
and
be Mark Chisholm, though.
But you can't.
I'd say Bickerman and the Chiz.
Bickerman's going to walk in as soon as he gets better because there's no better number four.
He's
in
the premier Australian
line-out
jumper.
But the Chiz has been so well this year.
Chiz is all over the place. He'll get a look in. Nathan Sharp will probably get a good
Will have to be in the squad for political reasons.
Other than that, he's been playing reasonably consistently.
Yep.
And the other person I think will probably get a look in is McMenamin if he stays uninjured. Unfortunately, not showing a lot because he's got no team around him and he's been injured for most of the year, but I suspect he'll get a look as well.
Yeah.
Again, it's the guys who are injured that you're picking.
Okay. And now we come to the
all important front row.
Insoluble problem of Australia might be the front row.
Oh, God.
Will they pick Baxter again?
Surely they can't pick Baxter again. It doesn't matter how bad things get, don't pick Baxter. Pick some blokes from Crookwell first.
I think we'll probably see people like. What's his name? Broke his foot.
No idea who you're talking about.
Rodzilla. When he's back and fit again.
He was quite good at the end of the season. Starting to play more of a forward game and not loitering up the knees, Matt Dunning.
He quite miserably failed to make the step up from Super Rugby to Test Rugby last season.
Yes, he did.
First season.
Again, he had a haircut.
A lot of players fail in their first season.
A lot of players, Matt Giddo failed in his first season. But at prop, I can't see anyone better, so let's have him. I'd even have Holmes as well. Let's have a Queensland front row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holmes was playing really well for the Reds. Holmes and Rodzilla were playing great for the Reds.
Hooker.
Oh, God. Do we have to? Can't we pick somebody else? Can't we pick another back?
Well, the Reds did it the other night. They had Berry throwing in a couple of times.
Yeah.
So why not just chuck somebody in?
Frankly, I can't pick a standout hooker.
Yeah.
JP, just JP, because...
JP for his field play, but Jesus... Line-out throwing has been atrocious.
I know,
no
the
worse
thing is,
than anyone
else's. Adam Fryer is great as a fetcher, but that's not a hooker's role.
Yeah.
The others just haven't been performing.
And Fryer
can throw better.
Fryer's captaincy at the Waratahs has been a disaster. He said he didn't want it in the first place. They forced it on him. It has not gone well.
Now, the other thing to say about it is that JP's, I reckon he's slowed down a lot around the pitch a lot, but until you can find somebody, develop somebody
this
better.
We'll put a general call. Australia needs a hooker.
Jim.
And not the type that ends up with Sonny Boo and him's in the toilet.
Yeah, no, none of Matt Giddo's girlfriends are eligible. Matt and Jack's girlfriends. Matt Giddo doesn't have girlfriends.
Sure he does, and a dog. Anyway, I think that's pretty much done.
That's our predictions anyway. Yeah, see how close we are.
Beer. Look at the beer.
We're having St. Anu
Premium Blonde, which is a wheat beer.
Pure wheat malted golden lager.
Oh, yes, it is.
I think this is actually really good.
Yes, yeah, but it's $6.50 a bottle, and it's a small bottle.
No, I take it like it's a wheat.
$6.50 a bottle, pub prices though.
Yes.
Well,
I'm a fan. That's what I look for in a light beer.
Yeah,
when I say light beer, like a lager as opposed to an ale. But hop balance is right. Nice aftertaste in my book. I'm a fan. I like it.
I don't like it at all. I've had better whiskeys than this.
Tastes like beer, and it's got a Pope's hat on it for some reason.
That'd be Saint Anu.
Aha, uh-huh, there you go.
Who's the patron saint of brewing, the label tells me.
Ah, good rah for him. Yes. I think I might convert.
If you're going to get a job, that's a good one to have.
Yeah, and it's got 3 gold medals of some sort on the label.
I think they just put it like a beer more
Now, Saint Anu was born in 580 AD in Metz, France, and... worked with the Roman army, which in 580 AD there wasn't much of a Roman army going around.
That's a pretty easy job, isn't it? Yeah.
You got a good 60 years out of it.
Becoming a monk, and then the Bishop of St. Metz. I know, died in 640. 60 years, mate. Yeah. Right, didn't he?
Right, and apparently his miracle was that the porters who were carrying his body home after he died got a free mug of ale.
That never ran dry. Now, where can I find that mug? That's an honour to find.
Oh, that's in some private collector's hands.
Where did they get the mug of ale from?
No, that was the miracle. They received a mug of ale that never ran dry. Yeah,
where did
cool
they receive
that?
It from?
I don't know, somewhere.
From God.
I think that's from God.
That's why it was a miracle.
I'm probably putting my cart for beer.
Alright, well, let's go to our last song. And it is Not the First.
Again, by Gil.
Yes.
Lucky I put this third, hey? Yeah, thinking. All right.
You
baby, you won't be the last. You're not the first now, baby, you won't be the last. You're not the first now, baby, you won't be the last.
Alright, that was Gilf with their song, Not the First, from the Insatiable Banalities podcast.
Tips for the next week.
Looking ahead, that's right.
Crusaders versus Hurricanes in Christchurch. We've got a lot of Friday night games this week.
Yeah, two of them.
It's good to get a proper Friday night Super 14 where you can sit down and watch a pile of games.
Hmm.
Unless you're in Canberra and we're playing well.
Well, 5:35, so yeah, straight after work.
Yeah.
Sit in front of the telly, excellent.
Or get down to the ground early and watch on the big screen.
That's right.
Who are we going for, boys? I think everybody's going for the Crusaders.
Did anyone tip the Hurricanes?
No.
Hurricanes have a reasonable chance of an upset.
I think they do.
It wouldn't be a stray putting a 10 or a 20 on the Hurricanes.
Reasonable chance for an upset, you mean 1 in 10, right?
I think you need more than 1 in 10.
Right, 2 in 10? Or even 1 in 5?
I mean, you know, you've got more chances. If you're having a bit of a go with your dollars at the tap, Hurricanes have a reasonable chance.
I mean,
still going to do the Hurricanes, but again, the Crusaders.
I think you're just doing your dough. I think this is as close to a dead set certainty as you get in this life.
Oh, I don't know about that one. No. I've seen some other certainties.
Yeah, certainties go down all the time.
Like the Crusaders going down to the Lions. Anyway, Brumbies versus Force in Canberra. I think with the cooler weather, I reckon we'll go on. Maybe that's what's been going on with the Force. They haven't been able to handle the cold
that
weather.
That could well explain why their season's deteriorating.
Mm, they've been playing a lot in South Africa and Perth.
Look,
so
I don't think the Force has shown anything in the last 2 weeks.
Africa. Yeah, I know. Hot games.
They won those.
Yeah, hot games. But now they're playing cold games.
Yeah.
No, Brumbies looking good.
If the Brumbies don't put them on the sword, though, you've got to have doubts about how they're going to go.
Unfortunately, not coming back this week. Giving him an extra week.
I don't think they missed
it. Oh, yeah, it's okay. You still get some continuity there.
Yeah.
That's not a bad
thing. No, I rate Fairmax. I think we're doing fine.
Ashley Cooper's
playing on the outside, but
Force, they really got to turn things around from the last 2 weeks, haven't they?
Well, let's hope it doesn't happen.
No, I'm hoping it doesn't happen.
I don't mind if it happens. It can happen next week.
Tim almost picked the Force until he realised who they're playing.
I'm thinking Brumbies, and then I wrote the final thing down.
Oh, anyway, we're all going the Brumbies. Yay us.
Now, the first tricky one of the round is Reds versus Cheetahs in Brisbane.
In Brisbane. Well,
Cheetahs on the end of a long road trip.
Yeah, Cheetahs are vulnerable.
I would say so.
If the Reds are going to win a game,
this could be it.
Yeah.
But I'm still going the Cheetahs.
Everybody is.
No, you're not.
Oh, I'm going to the Reds.
Yes, you're going to the Reds.
That.
That's why we make him write down his tips beforehand.
Yeah, this is why you're tipping suffering this season, mate, isn't it?
Because I don't know what I'm doing.
It's these crazy tips.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to the Reds. I think they've got a chance at home and trying to regain some lost pride.
Mm.
Oh, look, they showed glimpses last week of some consistency. They've just got to get it together.
Okay.
And again, more guys coming back who have been out injured, second round back in. Match fitness.
Alright, Chiefs versus Sharks in Hamilton. Will the bright lights of Cowtown take down the Sharks?
It's the closest game of the weekend.
Again, tricky one's a tip.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I guess I'd probably like Brumbies Force.
Yeah. So how did we tip?
Half and half. You and Katina went for the Sharks. Yeah. Tim and I are going for the Chiefs.
Mm. So you've lost faith in the Chiefs after their...
Oh, I'm tipping the Chiefs, mate.
Yeah, but you tipped the Sharks to beat Auckland and now you're not tipping them to beat the Chiefs.
That's right.
Got to pick your battles.
That's right. I can't give you any valid reason for that. I just have one of those gut feelings.
Bright lights of Cowtown, mate.
Which has served me so well this season so far.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the Sharks probably getting towards the end of their road trip might be a bit tired and complacent. And the Chiefs last weekend were on song.
Yeah, but the Sharks are playing for that home final now. They're not going to get complacent all the way
through. They're different teams. Well, the Chiefs are playing for a final spot as well, so they're different teams. The Chiefs, the Sharks play a much more structured game than the Chiefs play sevens.
with
15 players.
Yeah.
Alrighty, Waratahs versus Highlanders in
this
Sydney.
This is another really tough one.
It is.
Because we're talking two appalling teams here.
Yeah.
and one of them's playing at home, but they're a lot more appalling than the other guys.
I see the Highlanders' ability to smash the Waratahs pack is going to put them over the top, so I'm going to Highlanders. That and the Waratahs have been disappointing me every all season. Either we're losing games they should be winning or winning games they should be losing.
Yeah, I've been saying we're all going Highlanders. Probably got the consistency over the task.
Oh, I'm not sure about they got consistency, but I just can't see them.
Better. They showed more promise.
Yes, with their 3-38 loss too.
Well, look, shit. You know, if it was the Waratahs against the Crusaders, it would have been
96-19.
Now, another game that I had to think long and hard about, Lions versus Bulls in Johannesburg.
Yes.
Bulls too good, too much to play for in the end, but could go either way.
I'm going the Lions.
Yeah?
Yeah. Basically, I'm trying to make some points back. Uh-huh. And, and I reckon they can do it.
You think this is a spot to score an upset?
Yeah, I reckon they can do it.
Well, I don't think so.
Be happy to extend
the Okay, Lions coming off a break, but Bulls.
Yep, everybody else is going the Bulls.
Not coming too far.
Yeah.
And now, another tricky one for the round. Stormers v Blues in Cape Town.
Bright lights to Cape Town,
bright
maybe.
Bright lights to Cape Town. Blues coming off a loss. Stormers
long
coming
travel.
Off a loss, but, you know...
Long way to travel.
Again, the Stormers are one of those teams that... I mean, the Blues were terrible against the Sharks. They dropped ball, didn't have any continuity of play. The Stormers have been like that all season, except for when they're on, you know, the odd time where the coin lands on its edge and they suddenly fire up and pull us up and out of the bag. But
I mean, the Stormers have actually won four games.
It's all over the place for the Stormers this season. I think, you know, Locks practice this season and see what comes up.
Right. Well, I'm sticking with the Blues, though.
Yeah,
and so is everybody.
Yeah.
Except for Nick, who didn't put his tips in this week.
Yeah, we might get late tips. Nick's in Dubbo, I believe.
Oh,
what a shame. So, what I'm going to do here is, Nico, you're going to get all the losing teams.
we'll take late tips from Nick, just to keep the competition interesting. Anyway, as it gets increasingly noisy here in All Bar None...
They're friends of mine, sorry.
Yeah, only your friends are this bloody noisy, mate. We've been doing this all season with no problem.
It's only because we don't have any friends,
but they're not here.
Pricks. Thank you all for listening.
And thank you to All Bar None for putting up with us again.
Yep. And
we'll see you back here next week. With
after Brumbies' great big win and bonus points.